Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, Blog Talk listeners. Tom Hayes here from sunny Beantown, USA, and right on the water as usual, but not as sunny as where my guest is calling from today. We are honored all the way from Southern California. We've got about 57 cold degrees here, Jamie. How about you out there in California?
I think it's about 90. I haven't been outside yet. It's only 10:30 in the morning here.
Well, this is Jamie Shaheen. Am I saying that right, by the way?
Yes.
Okay, Jamie Shaheen from what town are you in?
I live in Bellflower, California, which is about 5 minutes from Long Beach and 20 minutes from downtown L.A. and 20 minutes from Disneyland.
Nice.
Yes.
You just mentioned the magic word. Is it okay if we can talk about that on the air?
Yes.
Okay, we just couldn't put it in writing.
Right.
Oh, okay. So good. Then let's go from there. Tell us all about how that happened.
Well, let's see. I had an agent around town that became talent casting manager over at Disney, and he sort of brought me along, and I've been working for them for, it'll be 22 years in October. And most of the stuff I do for them, yeah, it's really fun. It's really fun. I play piano in the lobby of Disney's Grand Californian and days a week. Yes, and I've been doing their weddings for almost 22 years and corporate events. Whatever they have me do, I do. Mostly as a pianist or a pianist singer. And that's how I got into the children's market. I was doing a sing-along show with them on the road, and I had so much fun. I was doing Disney songs at the time that I was doing the tour, and I thought I had so much fun. I thought, well, I'm going to write my own CD, and that's sort of what happened.
Unbelievable, and it's a great one. You know, one of the things I love about doing this show is I just get these great songs that I never would have ever found. And everybody wants to be a kid at heart. I wanted to be Peter Pan. The first time I saw Peter Pan with Mary Martin on TV, live TV, black and white, and I said, that's it. I'm 10 years old. I go, there it is. That you always want to know what I want to do with my life? There it is. I want to be Peter Pan.
Wow.
And I'm still Peter Pan. Yeah, I'm still Peter Pan into my sixth decade on the planet. But and so I get amazed that I can hear these beautiful, amazing songs. Yours has grabbed me in a way that most other songs haven't since I started the show. I can't get this one out of my head. Can I just play it?
Yes, let me guess. It's either Bubbles in the Bathtub or Everybody's Happy When They're Singing. I have to say, I apologize to the parents ahead of time when I give them the CD. When they buy the CD, I said, that song's going to go through your head sort of like head, shoulders, knees, and toes. That one goes through my head all the time after I do a kids show. So, but go ahead and play it. I'm glad you're laughing. I wrote that one in about 45 minutes.
Oh, isn't it? That's the magic of the muse, isn't it? All right, here we go. Let's listen. People will find out what we're talking about. You know, we should have a caution to if you're saying it all, you'll shut this off for 2 minutes and then turn us back on because you will be haunted by this wonderful song for a long time. Here we go.
Bubbles in the bathtub, bubble by me. Bubbles in the bathtub, bubble by me.
bubbles in the bathtub, bubbling by me. Bubbles in the bathtub, bubble bubbly. Bubbles in the bathtub, bubbling on by. Bubbles in the bathtub, bubble bubble line. Bubbles in the bathtub, bubbling by me. Bubbles in the bathtub, bubble bubbly. Bubbles in the bathtub, bubbling on by. Bubbles in the bathtub, bubble bubble line.
My little $5 applause machine, and I can't find it. It's killing me because that certainly does deserve an amazing round of applause. That's brilliant.
Thank you. How did that happen?
Well, first of all, what we have to do here – oh, wait a minute. Did I find it? What we have to do here – I didn't find my super-duper one, but I think I've got one. I don't know. Let's see. Yeah. We'll just give it a – I guess that's the best we're going to come up with.
Well, that worked for me. That's funny.
First of all, let's get your website in here so people can go find you and purchase this great album.
Do you need my website?
Yeah.
It's jamieshaheen.com.
www.jamieshaheen.com.
Uh-huh.
Easy enough.
Easy enough.
We want to tell I want to see if we can grab some people who are listening live, because we do get live. But people get nervous. So don't get nervous. We're nice people. You can call us at 347-996-3903 and talk to both Jamie and me. But exciting song. I mean, you must have – what did you do when you found out you wrote something so contagious?
Well, you don't realize it at the time. You're just hoping that you write a song that the kids are going to catch on to in a live performance. That was my goal on every song, because I love doing sing-alongs as a piano player, and doing sing-alongs with children is even easier because they're so uninhibited. So each song I tried to entertain the parents and entertain the children. And on that song, if the sing-alongs were too complicated in a live performance, I put hand motions with them. So I tried to do every song that was interactive. The only song not interactive was the teddy bear song, which was a lullaby.
You know, that's the first song that I think I will play that is a lullaby or a ballad on the show. We've been playing everything upbeat, but that one I just loved. I loved that. We're going to listen to that in a second. So, I mean, can I show you what I did with this this song, the inspiration it gave me?
Sure.
All right. As you know, Beantown is a crazy place where beans live. And we started this idea of Beantown a long time ago, and it just keeps growing and keeps changing, because it has, as you know, I mean, with songs or your career or anything, that it has a life of its own.
Mm-hmm.
So what's happened is that we now have a radio show, which kind of just evolved and came to me, and so it broadens in the fact that we can have great artists like you on to share their music and broaden the scope of the whole thing. And so I listened to this, and in creating the town, I'm starting to build out the town through commercials that would exist in a mythical place like Beantown. And I just did this last night, I mean, through the magic of the technology, and I'm hoping I'm going to get the right one. No, that's not it. Here we go. Here it is. If you have all these spoons and these beans right around, sooner or later you have to have them washed. And so all of a sudden this idea came to me that there would be an Aunt Sally, and she would own a very old-fashioned type of spoon, what we would call a car wash, but in this case a spoon wash, and everything is hand-dried, everything is just treated with loving care. And when I heard that song, I said, that has to be a backdrop to Aunt Sally spoon wash.
Oh, that's funny. Now, how long may I interview you also?
Sure.
How long have you had your blog show?
A month and a half.
How fun! Well,
yeah,
good for
and
you.
And it's just it's the platform that I think we finally needed to make Beantown world famous, because it's first of all, it's very inexpensive to work. The comedian who helped me create most of the stories and most of the ideas, it was magical the way we met and how easily we were able to create the stories in the world. And so here it is. And so when we did the radio show, the whole idea now is to create a radio show within the radio show. So Beantown has its own little radio show. And, of course, it's got commercials, it's got news, it's got whatever you think about that a normal radio show would have. And there's a perfect little spot, isn't it?
Yeah, have fun. Good for you.
Is it okay if I use your music?
Absolutely. You have my permission.
Thank you so much, because it just fits so perfectly for
somebody like Aunt Sally. Invite everybody down and get their spoon washed, because we got bubbles.
Okay. Oh, so that was your voice. Should I give that away?
Yeah, well, I know. Maybe I shouldn't. I've been reprimanded about that. But since it's you and I today. That song must have appeared in other commercials, yes or no?
Which one?
Yours.
No, nothing's bubbles. Appeared in commercials that I've known of at this point.
Oh boy, I would get your agent on that one, because I think it's, no matter how many soap products are out there and
detergents. I'd like to get Banana Nana Split in with Haagen-Dazs or 31 Flavors or one of those companies.
Yeah, want to go to Banana Nana Split
you,
now?
We can do whatever you'd like to do. Which song?
Yeah, why not? And then we'll talk about this afterwards. Hang on.
Okay.
Here we go. Whoops. I'm in iTunes. I'm going to go right to the studio here and play it. There we go. Play it right in the studio. Here we go.
Just finished dinner, potato and steak. Time for dessert. of it, banana split.
Inside are kids, but we get to spend the afternoon, your morning, and we're listening to Banana Split songs.
Well, what I did in that song is, during a live show, is I teach the kids their part in the song, which is the Banana Nana Split, and then I get kids up to the stage, and I'll take the microphone, an extra microphone, and go down the line, and each child gets a little part to sing part of the song.
Oh, wow. Does it take a long time? That's how I kind of... My path started, I guess, down this road is that I was a magician.
Uh-huh.
And that was my first entree into the world of entertainment. And then later I became a comedian and a corporate speaker and all of that stuff. But isn't it great when, I mean, kids are such great props, aren't they?
Yeah, they're great audience. They want to participate. They want to sing. You know, I wish my dream was to be, you know, all the families bonding together and bring sing-alongs back into society. Because, I mean, it's with computers and sports and so many distractions that, you know, when we grew up, you sit around the piano and you sang along and you sang along with your friends and your parents sang. And, you know, maybe it's the Midwest upbringing, but, you know, that's what my dream is to do that, is just to get everybody singing again.
Exactly.
You know?
And it's also my dream, and I think one of the my objectives of this show is to, many objectives, in fact, I'm going to get into one real soon here, because I'm going to ask you some questions of how you got to be where you are doing what you love. But you're right. I mean, so our society, without dwelling on the negatives, because we don't want to do that here, but you're right. Nobody sings anymore.
Uh-huh.
First of all, they do. Now, California, yeah,
but
a little bit.
Without dwelling on anything negative in the media or anything, but yeah, it's
right.
Different.
Yeah, and you know, but in California a little better than here, but we don't even have people who smile much anymore. And so we want to bring that back. We want to bring back the joy of living, and nothing I think does it more than music and comedy. You know, both laughter and singing are just great ways of. Isn't it interesting that those things that, you know, both of them involve using your vocal cords and your whole body and your breathing and everything else and sound that just makes you feel good because it puts you in a different vibration. So now one of the things that you have amazing musicians behind you. Wow, where are you getting these people?
Well, that is one person, Tom Geyer.
What?
Tom Geyer, that's how amazing he is. Tom Geyer, it's all keyboards, synthesizers.
It sounds so genuine, authentic, and genuine.
He's brilliant. This man's brilliant. He's done some major work around L.A. with top film score people that I probably not sure I should name or not, but he's worked on major projects and major film scores. But yeah, that's all synthesized. And what he did was, what I did is I wrote different styles of songs, so the kids would be educated at the same time. So like Banana Splits, more techno pop, and Bubbles in the Bathtub, he put a Dixieland section in the middle of the song.
Yeah, I was going to mention
actually,
the jazz.
Yeah, that was actually his wife's idea, who's one of my best friends, Diane Geyer. So like Jumping Out of Bed Boogie has a trombone solo, and the Teddy Bear is a ballad. Teddy Bear song's a lullaby. The March is a march. So different styles of music were presented in the CD, so the kids would hear something other than just pop rock or something that other than just one style through the whole CD. And every instrument was featured in different songs. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah.
The march.
Well, I mean, the jazz was so evident and so beautiful. You know, it's one of my things that I want to do myself is to broaden the kids' scope of what they're hearing through this show. And, you know, introduce them to jazz and, you know, a lot of the stuff that was done in the 50s and standards and everything else that they'll be entertained and, you know, have their horizons widened a little bit.
Yeah.
So,
well,
great. Go ahead.
Jumping out of Bed Boogie was, I wrote a big band tune. And Tom put a trombone solo in the middle of that. That's really a fun one. And the kids dance to that one. It's fun. But I announced before I do the song in a show that we're going to do. This is a big band song, so that the adults get excited, you know, because they love big
yep.
band stuff. So so that was one of my favorites, Jumping Out of Bed Boogie. But, yeah, Tom's brilliant, and I think the reason the CD's done so well is because of his production.
Yeah, it definitely comes to. Okay, so let's do Jumping Out of Bed. You started it. Job of that because it doesn't sound like you.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, no, okay. Nice. What a blast. So it's just the two of you in the studio.
Yes, except for happy birthday. We brought in his children when they were little to do backups on happy
birthday. That was great.
That's a fun thing along too. So that one is very interactive. They're all very interactive, like I say, except for the teddy bear song.
Well, there's nothing
Tommy
like
did a great, huh?
Right. The show when I did magic, the best things were when I would get, you know, somebody up on stage with me, or two or three or four, whatever, and that's when the fun really began. You know, and there's just a great magic. And you know, I mean, what the audience doesn't understand is that we're probably having way more fun than they are.
Yes, so, many times. But sometimes I'm jumping up and down and going, "Okay, can my body handle this?" I probably shouldn't say that on the air. Kids are much more flexible. When we do the march, march is really fun, too. The march, getting them around marching, they just love to march. That's probably one of the most interactive songs, I think, of the whole CD. Because they just love to march. You know, they just love getting their knees up in the air. And I get a little bubble machine, one of those handgun bubble machines. Those hand, you know what I'm talking about. I shouldn't probably say gun in the air, but you know those hand bubble machines. And I put those in the air, and we march around with the bubbles flying all over the place.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Now, let's talk about your work for the Magic Kingdom, yes?
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about the magic. And I think the magic, I love it when I have people like you that I can get to talk about your career and how you've been doing this for over 20 years, and you've been doing what you came here to do and love to do and getting paid for it. That's magic.
Yes. Well, I've been in the business longer than that, which I don't want to give that away, but with Disney, it'll be 22 years in October.
Wow.
And it's great fun. Yes, and it is magical. I mean, everybody's happy down there. The cast members are delightful. I meet people from all over the world. It's really fun. I can't wait to go to work. No matter what gig it is, I can't wait to go to work. You know, whether it's a wedding or a children's show or a hotel job, or it's just fun. It's fun.
What a concept. Work equals fun.
Yes. Yes. It is really fun. It's a joy.
One of my passions, you have yours, one of my passions is to tell kids that if you've got this inside you and that you know you love it and want to do it, et cetera, do it.
Yes.
Now, what do you think of that?
I tell them don't be 90 and say you didn't do it. Don't be 90 and say you didn't give it your best shot and just go after your dreams. And sometimes a better dream even comes along. I would have never thought I would have been in the children's market. It just plopped into my lap, and then I pursued it, and the doors just opened. So,
well, I never knew I would have a radio show, and I never knew I'd have a bunch of beans that I'm responsible for. And I never know that last night at 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm using your music to make a commercial for Aunt Charlie's little such and such. Spoon washed. and I'm sitting here laughing out loud, trying not to wake up the rest of the house, saying, how blessed are we to be given these things? But how does that, now, I know how it happens, you know how it happens, but we want to tell not only the kids, but we get a lot of parents who listen to this, and I think one of the things that we want, because so many people want to fall into that safe thing, you know, well, get a real job. You know, where you'll get money and you'll get a pension and you'll get, you know, whatever, and which is kind of a fallacy today because there's no guarantees for anything. But so how do you counter that? I mean, you just what do you think it took? What did it take for you to do it?
Oh, my. Well, you mean to be a freelance artist?
Yeah, but I know the answer that I'm looking for, but I think it took guts to do it.
Well,
at some point.
I feel like God gave me a talent, God gave me a talent that I'm responsible for.
There you go.
That's the way I look at it.
What a great conviction, and I totally agree with that. And, you know, what I found is that I was going the total opposite way. I was going to be an economist and work for a big insurance company doing econometric models. And not that I loved it, but it was kind of like it was the lesser of many evils, and it seemed okay. And then one day I had been born into a family of magicians, but lost the enthusiasm because I didn't have a support group around me, and especially with magic. I mean, everybody wants to catch you. Nobody wants to be entertained. It becomes an adversarial situation. And the only way I got to get kids to buy into it and I could have fun myself was to add a comedy element to it, and then they got the gags and went with it. But everybody, you know, and so one day I was working as a salesperson and my boss took out a magic trick and he sold an account and I still had the trick stored away in my attic. And the next thing I know, I'm running around doing magic for people. And then I ended up on stage as a comedian. And when I look back on it, I go, I wonder how much I really had to do with all of this. It was meant to be, because you're right, we're given that talent.
Yes, and the meant to be is the thing, but that's, you know, I don't know how somebody could, to be a freelance artist, you do have to save your money. I had an agent in my 20s. He pulled me aside. He said, stay as a single and save your money. And, you know, that's important because you don't know when that gig could just, you know, all gigs eventually end. And that's not a negative thing. I mean, but I tell people, if I hadn't lost gigs along the way, I wouldn't be sitting over at Disney. Do you know what I'm saying? It builds
well, yeah,
that.
And that's part of the process, I think, is that you have to, well, you know, I just read one of the books I recommend to everybody, for all artists and parents for their kids, and is Stephen Pressfield, who wrote the Legend of Bag of Vance, and he wrote a fantastic book for artists, and not just artists, but anyone, and it's called The War of Art. And he said, basically, you do the work. In other words, if you love to play piano or whatever, you practice, you let go once you've done it, and then you trust that something will happen. And so you do it every single day, you get gigs, you lose gigs, and all of a sudden you're in Disney.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's been, how did that happen? Oh, like I say, my agent, an agent friend became talent casting manager, and they just brought me along. And I never pursued Disney, actually. So it was one of those things, you know, I fell into it. It's been a joy. I mean, it's like a blink of an eye. It's so much fun that it's like, seems like yesterday that I started working with them. But I had
Go ahead. No, we hear that story consistently from other artists who are saying, I didn't expect to be where I am, and yet I did.
Yeah, you do the footwork and then, like I say, something bigger comes than what you planned, and it's really
exactly.
fun. And I'm sitting here
exactly.
smiling even thinking about it. I'm very grateful,
Yes.
But
that's
you also
what it takes.
I network
kids.
A lot.
Right.
Networking is
yep.
very important. Networking,
sure.
And if the kids are listening, as the kids are listening, networking is very important, and showing up on time is really big.
Oh, yeah.
People wouldn't think that was such a big issue, but you don't want to be late for somebody's wedding. You don't want to be late for a show. It's
right.
just a big no-no. I mean, things
exactly.
do happen. Sometimes people's cars break down and you know, sometimes beyond your control. But make sure you get your oil changes and do whatever you can to keep your car in shape. You know, it's a bigger picture.
Go ahead. Woody Allen says that 90% of life is showing up.
That's right. It's such a simple thing. But, you know, I've seen people show up late and lose jobs, and you know it's such a simple thing.
Or not show up at all.
That's true too. I've seen that happen. And when I've done weddings, I can't believe how people have not shown up sometimes. So I've seen everything. I've seen ministers not show up. I've seen florists not show up. I've seen bridal parties get lost. You know, nothing surprises
me. Probably seen
me.
A lot of grooms not show up.
No, that doesn't happen, fortunately. But I know I've seen everything. Like I said, nothing surprises me, and then when something else happens, it does surprise me. Even though I think nothing else could surprise me.
Well, that's great. You know, I loved. This is where you do people tell you you sound like a famous singer, female singer, and I know who it is. Who is it?
No, you go first.
Karen Carpenter.
I hear that, and I hear Gloria Estefan, but Gloria Estefan.
Yeah, and I love Gloria Estefan. I think that comes out in this song. Can we play Teddy Bear?
Sure.
All right, here we go.
Teddy Bear.
I'm going to stop that for just for a second because that totally has a Gloria Estefan ring to it. That whole intro. Here we go. Keep it going. Chills on that one.
Thank you.
Fantastic. Boy, oh boy, does that, so many questions come up out of that one. Boy, what is the big song that everybody's now, I think, in many ways complaining about because they've overheard it a million times from Frozen?
I'm not going to even say the title.
I know.
I don't know. It's Let It Go.
Yeah, Let It Go. And which is a great philosophy. It's part of what I just spoke about a little earlier. But this song, I mean, this sounds totally like Disney and totally like a Disney film. I mean, Do you see it someday being in a film or anything that you've done being in a film?
Well, I would love that. I mean, you know, those things can happen, but you have to know people and, you know, get it in with the right people. It's a whole other end of the business.
Right, right. But
yeah.
Every once in a while, somebody hears something. You hear these great stories, you know, that somebody was listening to someone or was at a party or somebody had something on and, you know, later on a producer says, you know, a director, I want to have that in my movie. But that certainly, to me, gave all kinds of imagery of a great, you know, animation piece. And, you know, a teddy bear and a, you know, little girl, little boy. You know, it's a great, it just kind of gave that whole relationship and crystallized it.
Well, thank you. It's very sweet. I figured I'd throw one soft song on there. But the kids overall,
yeah.
I don't do that song in a live show because it would bring the energy down. So overall, the kids like the up-tempo songs better.
Of course.
But,
well,
I wrote that more for the adults.
All right. Now, every show I try to put in at least 5 to 10 minutes about the art of writing. And, you know, because all of you are singer-songwriters on the show, and I think that, you know, that's a transformation that kind of came out of the 60s, didn't it, when you think about it, 60s and 70s, that prior to that time, you know, Frank Sinatra wasn't known as a songwriter, nor Bing Crosby, nor Perry Como or anybody else, nor even Elvis, for that matter, that they had other songwriters write songs for them. And then all of a sudden the 60s came along, and Bob Dylan and Joan Baez, and everybody, and the Beatles certainly changed that. The Rolling Stones certainly changed that. So we have this whole generation of people who not only been able to sing the song, but they actually created the music and the words and the lyrics and all that stuff.
And
so do you want to talk about how you write?
You know, what happened is an agent around town, a producer around town, told me for him to hire me that I would have to have original material. So that's what motivated me, really, because I knew I wanted to sing for children and sing with them. And so I basically just came up with my own show, and I thought everybody's happy when they're singing. My I don't know how to explain it. There's so much involved. Let's say my motivation was just to sell fun. Fun was the key. Sing-alongs were the key. So every song involved a sing-along, a hook that was strong enough to catch on a live performance, which we talked about a little bit earlier. So I just really put my mind to it, and I wrote one song a month because I was so busy working all the time. And that was my goal, and I finished it in about a year and a half, I think. But writing does not come easy for me. I found it a little difficult to do something different and still be interactive and still entertain the adults, as I said earlier. So I'm not sure I'm answering the question.
No, you're answering it perfectly. Is that, and this is what I'm trying to, you know, there's a big hurdle, I think. Well, first of all, I have a big prejudice about the way most writing is taught, because it's work and not fun, and it's structure and all of these things. And whenever somebody would say to me when I was in school, oh, we're going to write, I'd be like, oh, no. And then it was later on in life that I understood the joy of writing, because I didn't limit myself to all of the grammar and the spelling and all of that. I just wrote my thoughts.
Yeah.
And that's the message. So, you know, your story is not, I'm a big Rolling Stones fan, and, you know, here they were doing all these great rhythm and blues covers, and their agent sat them in a room and said to Keith and Mick, you're not getting out until you got a song.
Really?
And I think the first, yeah. And they had no proclivity, no inclination, no desire to ever write. And, I mean, and now they're so darn prolific. So I think the thing that I'm constantly trying to do in these shows and the other artists are doing with me is saying to kids, even if you think you may not like it, do it, because you have a story to tell, no matter what it is, whether it's music or a novel or a comic book or just a poem, anything. Because as you, this is why I love what you're saying. You did it out of necessity because you wanted to work and you wanted to be different, and then the magic happens, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Like you talked about Bubbles wrote in 45 minutes.
Yeah, and the thing is, once you get it in your head, you sort of have to finish it anyway, or else, because then your own song will go through your head until you finish the song. So you know what I'm saying? So, but the completion of the project is when it's done, it is a great feeling. But, you know, the other thing is some places, the other reason the producer said, you know, you have to have your own songs is the particular mall didn't pay ASCAP BMI fees. And so to do other people's songs was a no-no.
Right. Right.
So that's why I did it. And who would have guessed it would have done – I would have never thought that I would have done some of the fun things. I worked for Pottery Barn Kids for a long time in their stores.
Right, right.
Many of us did across the country. And Pasadena Symphony was a really fun one. I didn't expect. They had gone to the Musicians Union. I'm a member of Local 47 out here in L.A. and Local 353, which is Long Beach, and Orange County, which is Local 7, all American Federation of Musicians. And they had gone to Local 47 looking for a children's artist, and there weren't that many in the union that were children's artists. So I got in with them. They had children's shows up at the Americana at Brand in Glendale for quite a while, and ended up doing those and then ended up hosting the other shows, and because they wanted kids to get excited about the symphony. So they'd bring in children's artists with different instruments and present different instruments to them in a show, and they'd bring their musical their musical instruments called the Musical Petting Zoo to the show so the kids could experience instruments live and get to play those instruments and get them excited about a symphony. I mean, because there's a symphony concert is amazing, and it's not that much more expensive to go sit in the lawn seats as it is to go to a movie. So I highly suggest for any parent that is listening to take your kids to the local symphony, let them get excited and see how big their eyes get when they see all these instruments, you know, on stage and the violins moving at the same time. It's really an amazing experience. So the Pasadena Symphony has been wonderful that way, and they're just a great group of people.
Yeah, well, kudos to you. But again, I'm going to go back to the writing that, you know, so it's work. I mean, for you, it became, okay, I have to do this in order to move ahead. But at some point, and this is what we try to tell the kids, and that was the same way. I was a comedian who needed material. I had never even thought that I would be a comedian. I didn't know where even to get the material. But I disciplined myself to write for a certain amount of time every day, and just anything. And then what happens at that process, again, what Stephen Pressfield says, you do the work, you let go, and you trust. And what I found a lot of times is some of the bits that I may have been working on, they didn't crystallize into anything, but all of a sudden something would come out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would have it all. And it wasn't even anything I intended or planned, because you kind of said about that the song kind of writes itself. Everybody's talked about that on the show, that some of the songs actually write themselves.
Mm-hmm. Well, I usually try to come up with the hook chorus first.
Uh-huh.
The chorus that's catchy. I usually did that first and then came up with the verses. Because hook and chorus weren't catchy enough, they're not going to listen.
Well, certainly Bubbles in the Bell.
I know. And like Roller Coaster is a sing-along. Let's see, what else can I Are We There Yet? That's a sing-along. They're all sing-alongs, like I said. But my priority was not the songwriting. My priority was the live performance.
Yep. So you wrote with that intention, yeah.
Yes.
And you got what you needed.
I wrote the show instead of writing the songs.
Right.
Did that
nice.
Make
sense?
I mean, that's
and
sort of my intention.
Right. And the important thing is that it came to you with discipline and, you know, setting out and doing the actual work. It happened.
A lot of discipline, I would say, and just focus. And let's see, how else did I do?
So,
that was a lot.
Yeah, and I think you're a great example because, you know, you're saying, well, it doesn't come easy and everything else, but still it gave you something that is truly yours, and it came out of you, and now look at the result.
Yeah, it's great fun. I love singing for children. it's like we said, they're just so fun. They interact, they dance without being inhibited, and they make me laugh. Like you were saying earlier, it's like, okay, who's being entertained here? You know, I'm the one. I get entertained by watching their faces, and they're smiling and they're laughing during the show, and it just makes me smile.
Oh yeah, there's nothing like turning an audience on, especially with kids, and yeah. and getting inside their heads, and you know, finding out what ignites them. It's magical. You know, and this song blew my mind because it's so. You had to write this song from a personal belief system on how to live. I'm going to play It's a Great Day, okay?
Okay.
Here we go. Another great song that should be in a movie.
Thank you. That's my cheerleader song, like encouraging the kids to, you know, go after their dreams, like we talked about earlier.
And I can tell that you live that.
Oh, that's sweet. Thank you. I do my best.
You know, and isn't that the best example? That's why I love having you great artists on the thing, is that you are the shining light that says to all of those kids who really are passionate about their music and are getting all of the, well, why don't you get a real job, lectures day in and day out. You know, why don't you go to college and, you know, get a nice office job, you know, be nice and secure, and, you know. And I love, example by example, we were doing some TV work up, and I loved an interview, as you can probably tell, and one of the, we were doing, actually taping a kid's show, just a little cable show, and the actual director brought in a friend of his that he had traveled with doing shows across the country. And he was a musician, and so I got to interview him, and It's an amazing story. I just love it because it defies all of the – there isn't a magic to being born with a talent, like you said, loving it, being passionate about it, and then moving forward, and then to see what unfolds. So, you know, and like in my case, I lived it. I never thought I'd have a microphone in my hand telling jokes. I mean, that wasn't even within the scope of my imagination. And yet, you know, things happened that put it right. Now, I had a choice. I could have decided not to go with it, but it would have been torture not to pursue it. Once I got a taste of it, you know, you think of, you know, talk about a wild beast gets a taste of blood, you know, that you get that taste of that excitement, that adrenaline, that creativity, that joy, the fun of actual being on stage. And so here's I laugh telling the story. He was a, I think his name is David Newman, and he was, grew up here in the Boston area, and his favorite, his introduction to music was the Monkees. Remember the Monkees?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
well, we both
so
give away our age.
Yeah, he loved the Monkees. Uh-huh. And so he decided after two or three episodes that was going to be his life at the age of six. Mm-hmm. And so he got music lessons, et cetera, et cetera. And then the Beatles, he found the Monkees before he found the Beatles. And he saw the Beatles, and it was all over for him. And he said, that's, you know, and when I hear so many stories about musicians who say that how much influence the Beatles gave them to pursue music as a career. And so he went through his life just forming bands, making money that way, traveling, doing musicals. He finally got into on Broadway as a musical director for a play that was the Brady Bunch. And one of the episodes that the Brady Bunch did on TV was they had, I think it was Davy Jones came on the show from the Monkees. And so they wanted to reenact that particular episode. So they got a hold of Davy Jones and he agreed to come on the show. Well, make a long story short, they worked together for years. So here he was working with a monkey.
Wow.
And, yeah, imagine Davy Jones.
Oh, I would love that.
Left the show. This David Newman was in his home, heard the phone ring, picked it up, and it was Davy Jones some 2 years later. And Davy Jones says, "Hi, David, you know, I'm just thinking of putting the Monkees back together. Would you like to come on tour with us?"
Wow.
Yeah, imagine.
And
while I'm interviewing, I'm going, come on. Now, I says, you know, because, you know, for quite a while I was, you know, big into planning and, you know, all of that stuff. I says, did this even enter your mind as a goal, as something you wanted to? No. He goes, no. I couldn't even conceive of something like this happening. And so he went on tour with Davy, but Davy didn't have the full band together. And then they ended that tour, and a couple of years later, they decided to do it again, but this time they had all the band members. He got kicked off the stage, but he went along as musical director because now they had the full band. Well, one night he was playing in a pub after the show, and he was just playing Beatles songs on the piano, and they went over to him. All of the Monkees went over and said, "We didn't know you could play like that." And he said, "Yeah." And so they put him in the show as a monkey, and he toured for two or three years as a monkey.
How exciting. How exciting.
So, you know, what's the message there? I think the kids, you know, do exactly what Jamie did. She knew she had a God-given talent, and she pursued it, and she ended up in Disney. And David Newman decided that he wanted to pursue, because his heroes were the Monkees, and he got to play with the Monkees.
Wow.
What a better way than doing what you say in this thing. It's a great day, and follow your dreams and your passions.
Wow. That's an exciting story. That got me excited. That was a fun story. Yes.
You know, anything can happen. I don't know if you heard the thing. I just found it this week about the two guys that were on Britain's Got Talent, two young kids who did a song about bullying.
No, I did not hear about it. But I'd love to hear about it.
Let's just play it. This is an amazing story. This is one of those anything can happen stories. And so I kind of pulled it off of the internet here, and it's uploaded here. So, yeah, let's. I think we can actually take. I'll tell. I'll set it up. What happened was, two young kids. I think they're barely teenagers. Barely. They're probably still in primary school or maybe middle school. I'd give them middle school. And one of them was being severely bullied. And it's a really gut-wrenching story. And somehow they sang, again, through the magic. You know, he wanted to sing and do rap. And he met this other kid. And the story unfolds that they did this rap song, and they just got this amazing, amazing reception. And now it's over 3 to 4 million views. Imagine that we're living in an age where, you know, you get that kind of exposure at the age of 10 or 12.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just amazing. So let's play it, and if it gets confusing, I'll stop it and explain whereabouts. But here they are just getting onto the show, and there's a lot of kidding that's going around before they actually get to get on and do their singing. So here we go.
Welcome to Britain's Got Talent.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, that's very nice of you to say. So what are your names, boys?
My name's Charlie.
And my name's Beyondre. And together we're Baz and Melody. Bam.
What's the dream with you two guys?
I just want to deliver it to you people. I just want to give an awesome performance.
I get ya. What does your mum and dad do for a job?
My mother's a personal trainer, and my father's a stonemason.
Stonemason!
Hey, bro!
And you?
My mum's a cook in a school.
Dinner lady, yo!
And, my stepdad, he owns his own company.
He's a businessman, yeah!
Can I just say one thing? Alicia, I love you so much. You're my inspiration.
He fancy Alicia. He don't like Amanda.
Amanda, you're beautiful as well.
He is lying.
Boys, can I just ask you, what are you singing?
Well, it's Hope by Twista and Faith Evans, but it's a bit of a twist in the rap because I wrote it myself.
What's the song about?
It's about anti-bullying.
Anti-bullying?
Yeah, because it's something that I feel deep about too. I started rapping because I went through a very hard time in primary school. I was getting bullied.
As a parent, it's one of the hardest things to see your child upset and going through emotional turmoil. It is hard, very hard.
When I used to be like down in the dump, I used to write down my rap. I could express myself through what I was writing down.
I was very happy with the way Leandre dealt with it. He actually stood up to the bully and resolved the situation.
I moved schools and much better environment for me. I love school. I really do love school. It's amazing.
I'm very proud of him. Very proud.
The first time we met, we really clicked. It was just an automatic connection. Like, I didn't think it would be like that.
We're brothers.
I think music's made him a lot stronger. If it wasn't for his music, he wouldn't be as confident and as cheeky, you know? It just helps him a lot.
We really want people to listen and hear our lyrics that are in our song.
Okay, good luck.
Thank you.
I feel so alone, I'm just a kid, how can I take it on my own? I'm crying so many tears here writing this song. Trying to fit in, where do I belong? I wake up every day, don't want to leave my home. My mama's asking me, but I'm always alone. Too scared to say, too scared to holler. I'm walking to school with sweat around my collar. I'm just a kid, I don't want no stress. My nerves are bad, my life's a mess. The names you call me, they hurt real bad. I want to tell my mom, she's having trouble with my dad. I feel so trapped, there's nowhere to turn. Trying to school, don't want to fight, I want to learn. So please, Mr. Bully, tell him what I've done. You know I have no dad, I'm living with my mom.
Yes, I am hopeful for today. Take this music and you can let it take you.
I like these tunes.
Hopeful, hopeful, and he'll make a way. I know it ain't
okay, just be home.
Why are you tripping about the things you say? I didn't necessarily dorm, but now I have to pay. I ain't got no money, you take all I have. When they give it to you, I search for my bags. I feel so scared when you shout me down. You pick me, punch me, throw me to the ground. When I ask you, yo, what have I done? You hit me again, I make fun of my mom.
Yes, I am hopeful for today. Take this music,
check it out.
Music, let it take you away and be hopeful, hopeful, and he'll make a way. I know it ain't easy, but that's okay. Just be hopeful.
What I wear is all I have. No. We left the home, I'm living from a bag. Yo, Mr. Bully, help me please. I'm flesh and blood, accept me please. Hey, Mr. Bully, I don't know what to do. My mind, I can't explain. What is it to you, Mr. Bully? Take a moment, please.
Yo, what is it to me?
You bring me to my knees.
Oh, yes, I am hopeful for today. Take this music and you just let it take you away. And be hopeful, hopeful, and he'll make a way.
I know
it ain't easy, but that's okay, just be
we hardly need to critique you went so well, but let's have some comments, Amanda.
I'm just so happy for you. Your voice is beautiful. We all were in tears. So well done.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
The minute you started that verse, it actually brought a tear to my eye. And it was really, really moving.
Alicia, if I went for you, I wouldn't be rapping, so yeah, thank you so much.
Oh, that's really sweet.
Two young kids like yourself to come out and sing about something that really affects you, do it in a style that's completely yours, is a really rare thing. That's why you got that golden buzzer today. Well, you know what? I've heard of some monstrous songs today and I just was literally losing the will to live. You know what? I listen to every word. Did this stuff happen in your life?
I got bullied a bit when I was younger, but...
But not anymore?
Yes, so it's all gone now, yeah.
I think that record could be a hit, I really do. I really, really like you, too.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
There's a lot of emotion in his rapping. Very sweet.
Amazing. Amazingly, so many layers of things happening there. I mean, the power of music and the power of his... Again, he wrote his way out of that bullying situation.
Did you hear the pain in his voice?
Oh, my God.
A lot of emotion, a lot of pain there. It's like, oh, that's sad.
Yeah.
But
sad.
Great writing.
Oh, and like I say, he wrote that, I guess, in primary school, and they're no more than middle school at this point. Mm-hmm. And You know, and I think, I mean, again, just the audience reaction was ridiculous. They were all screaming, push the button, push. I guess there's a golden buzzer or something that Simon hits if, you know, there's something goes over the top. And, yeah, I mean,
it goes over
the
top in a good way or in a when they want
to? No, over the top in a good way. The audience was demanding that he push the button buzzer.
Oh, great.
They were demanding it. They were all, there was a standing ovation in the entire audience.
Oh.
And, yeah, it's Bars and Amp Melodies Golden Buzzer is the name of the YouTube. For those who want to go out and see it. But amazing what he was able to accomplish is a therapy for him undergoing all that bullying. Mm-hmm. And what the mother was saying was that through his writing, he finally expressed to her the duress he was under, and it forced both mothers to get together and resolve the bullying issue.
Uh-huh.
And then he...
Wow.
Yeah, huh?
Yeah, sad it goes on. It's you know, but I don't think it's ever going to, I mean, when we were kids, it was the same way. I don't know about your school, but, you know.
Just
kids are kids, you know. They just say
what's on
their mind.
That's right. And, you know, there's a great book right now that I recommend to all parents called David and Goliath. And as tough as it is for a kid to be bullied, et cetera, and some kids are totally victimized, but the ones who figure it out and somehow move past it, become stronger in ways than they would have ever been without it. You know, and you learn techniques and tricks to finally overcome it. So, you know, what he's saying in the book is that the what we think is the underdog is not always the underdog. That, you know, in the case of David and Goliath, Goliath didn't stand a chance because he was this behemoth, weighted down with all of this armor and equipment, and nobody understands in modern times that David had the equivalent of a rifle in his hand with that slingshot. That's how skilled they were. They could throw that for yards and be a dead accurate. So David had no intention of even getting close to Goliath, this big monstrous bully, and he just took him down from a distance.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, if you think of the net effect of this situation, here is here is this awful situation to happen to this youngster, and now he's a star because of it.
Mm-hmm.
In the way that he processed it,
uh-huh.
You know, he expressed it in through his music and his voice, and now now who's the winner, the bully or the victim here?
Yeah, that's true.
You know, so I mean. Yeah, positive. And I think it totally reflects your what you were saying, and have a beautiful day.
Yeah. I mean, you only got one day at a time, and you give it your best, and it's not always easy. Stuff comes up.
Right, but, you know, life, and what, if it were easy, how much fun would it be?
That's a good point.
Right.
I'm interrupting you. I have to ask, are you a Boston? Is that a Boston accent or a New York accent?
Yeah, I mean, it comes through, doesn't it? I mean, even though I've learned to say my R's, it doesn't matter. Okay. They still know. I'm still pegged.
So which is it? I didn't peg you, though. I can't tell if it's Boston or New York.
No, it's Boston.
It's Boston. Okay.
Yeah,
that's a great accent.
Well, thanks. You know,
or maybe I'm the one that has the accent.
Well, I laugh. You know, I always love it when because Boston and New York are big rivals, and I always love it when I hear somebody say, "You got a Boston accent. You talk funny."
Yeah.
Thank you.
Charming.
Charming. Oh, thanks. Can we play? I got a feeling that we, with all of the eclectic mix of your stuff, I want to play an old standard. Have you got time?
Sure.
All right, hang on. Let's see what you think of this. I just think this is a great song to play.
Go right back where I belong. way down south in Birmingham, I mean south in Alabama, an old place where people go to dance the night away. They all drive or walk for miles to get jive, that southern style, so low jive, that makes you want Junction now. There's a place down in Dixie where everybody is happy, where they all get together singing and shouting all the day, feeling low, rocking slow and easy, and I want to go right back to the junction called Tuxedo. That's where I belong, that's where I do belong. Hit the junction where the town folks meet, they all meet at each function, at the junction in the tux. They will all be there to greet you. Come on down, forget your cares, come on down. You'll find me there, so long town. I'm heading for Tuxedo Junction now.
Good stuff.
You know who that is, of course.
Yeah, no, I don't. I was going to say the Andrew Sisters, but I've actually thought about taking a bunch of old standards like Heart of My Heart and Side by Side and Let Me Call You Sweetheart and putting them in a form for the young kids so they can learn the standards. You know, those are good songs, old sing-alongs and the old, you know, Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy, those kind of things. That's fun stuff. Fun stuff.
And, you know, I, as a children's entertainer, I mean, I always love approaching the room, especially when they're all sitting on the floor or something, and there's that anticipation. And I could just see, you know, me as a magician, there was a part that I just used music, and I produced doves and rabbits and things like that. I could see me playing that and just walking through the audience, egging the kids on to get into the groove, to get into the thing and start moving and jiving to that beat. I mean, do you see it as what you do?
If I do a standard, or are you saying if I do?
No, I'm saying just
stuff.
That particular song. It has that ability. Would have that ability to ignite a room full of kids.
Yeah, what I would do on that song, if I was performing, I would have them all clicking along instead of clapping. Clapping
there
is normal.
We go. Yeah.
Everybody, because I'd have them clicking and swaying at the same time, so they're interactive.
Yep.
So it's interactive. I do find that if you don't interact with them and they're not engaged in the song, they start the attention span sometimes will. Not
oh, yeah,
there.
They drift. They no, and that's what I'm saying. Just a little direction from you at the front of those kids, you know, the snapping of the fingers and the bopping of the head and a little swing would really get that room going in a beautiful way. You know, it's that music. And when you hear the words to it, I would just love to hang out at the Tuxedo Junction.
Yeah. So, you know, the introduction to that song, though, sounded like what's that song? Straighten Up and Fly Right? What's that song called?
Yeah, exactly.
Sounded a little bit like that. I thought that's what it was going to be.
Yeah, so. Yep. They all have that. It was, you know, there was a blend, kind of what we heard from you today with the jazz and kind of a spiritual kind of, you know, an old-time Southern spiritual.
Uh-huh. Oh, everybody's happy when they're
singing. Yeah.
That's more good.
We haven't done Everybody's Happy yet.
Yeah, that's a good gospel. I wanted everybody just be clapping and sing along on that song. That's the whole theme of the whole show.
Let's go. Here we go. We're going to finish this will be the last of your songs.
Everybody's happy when they sing. Everybody's happy when they sing. Everybody's happy. Everybody's happy. Everybody's happy when they sing.
That's when I started paying attention to him. And I thought he was brilliant. He's brilliant. So
that, I mean, that is, so after you wrote that song, you started to pay attention to Elvis?
No, after he passed away, I started
Oh, yeah.
I did not
yeah.
say that on
oh.
the air in front of the children. So, yeah. you know, that's when I started. It's like the guy was brilliant. He was a brilliant
oh.
artist. He danced brilliantly, and his singing was intimate, and he didn't emote when he was singing. He was just, I had a voice teacher that said, you know, there are the singers that make you feel something, and there are singers that make you go, wow. But Elvis sort of did both.
Oh, yeah.
Now, am I making sure, like, there's great technical, amazing singers that can go all over the place with their voices. I'm not going to name names. But they don't, if you really
yeah.
listen to them, they don't make you feel anything.
No, exactly.
Showing their technique. But
exactly.
then there's the singers that are intimate, like they're singing right into your ear and right into you, to you personally. And those are the ones that are, you just go, wow, what is going on? But you don't know what's going on unless you have a teacher that said, oh, well, he's doing this and this is why.
Well,
did
it's that,
that
whole
sense?
less is more. Totally, less is more.
Less is more. That's a great way to put it also. But he had this way, and Michael Jackson had it too. They had this way of, like, they're just singing just to you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, without a doubt, you know,
yeah.
that's without a doubt. And I'm sitting here listening to it and go, oh, my God, this song was written for Elvis. I mean, it's you. If he didn't influence you intentionally, I mean, it comes off.
Oh, that's so funny. No, it wasn't that. It wasn't influenced by, it was just like I wanted to get everybody singing. My mission statement, I had gone to Western Arts Alliance, if you heard of that. It's places where you can book your children's shows. And you get a sponsor when you go there that sits with you, and I think that was the name of it. And she sits with you and asks you, so what's your mission? And what's your mission statement? I said, my mission statement's fun. That's it. And she looked at me and said, oh, well, okay. Like it wasn't enough of a, it may be enough of a mission statement. But that's my goal. And it's
the ultimate mission statement. Fun, period.
Fun and sing along. And that's it. And get everybody clapping and dancing and singing.
Right. That's got that old spiritual thing that he grew up with, you know, the ho-ho, and you know, you even got the intonation there, that ho-ho-ho-ho-ho-ho.
Well, nobody's ever called me a female Elvis, but I'll take it.
Oh, God, it's so beautiful.
That's
so funny. It's there throughout all of most of his music that, you know, when he decided he would go into that, and I could hear it, you know, he would love that song. I mean, he would just, if you put him in front of a bunch of kids, and kudos to you. Just brilliant stuff. Well, I had an absolute blast. I hope you had half as much fun as I did.
Absolutely. You got me laughing, and if you come out here sometime, you better look me up.
Oh, without
a
doubt.
I'm a great tour
guide. I love your energy. I never knew I'd be doing this, and to have, you know, the internet and the technology and the ability to meet people from, you know, you're in California, I'm in Boston, and we shared this, and hopefully we get some kids exposed to the magic of what you do, and not only what you do, but the example of what I want kids and parents to hear and see is that, you know, know what you were born to do, you know, and identify with that and hold on to that and then be brave and move forward. And that's everything you've done. And look what's happened.
Thank you very much. And thank you for
taking
the time to interview.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And we'll do it again sometime, I hope.
Yes. Let's stay in touch.
You know, and if I can get you and the, my lady friends, you know, Catherine and Patricia and Judy, anytime we can connect, I think we'd have an absolute blast.
That would be fun.
All right. Well, thank you so much. And that's it for today, audiences.
Thank you.
And hey, Jamie, one more time. Give your website.
JamieShaheen.com. JamieShaheen. JamieShaheen.com.
Fantastic. Thank you, everyone. And we'll see
you
next time. All right.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye, Tom.
All right. So long, Jamie.
The music playing, just follow the beat. For real, you can feel the excitement in the air. Leave your worries behind and just forget about your cares. Grab a Frank at Fenway,